the best people like that are cultivated through given the opportunity, being shown what's possible, and then we as a dentist getting out of the way and putting them in a position to succeed.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Yeah, just super pumped to be here with you. I feel like I normally say that. I'm like, yeah, let's go podcasting. But yeah, I do love the podcast. Hey, today we got a super fun guest. We have Dr. Allie Fraunfelter from Evansville, Indiana on. Some of you know Allie. She's a riot. She's super fun. And she's an amazing clinical dentist. So it'll be fun to talk to her about today. Before we get started, just remember that, like, you know, you should come check us out at 3D Dentist. That would be great. Hey, we'll probably talk a little about smile design today. So we have an awesome smile design track as it pertains to cosmetic dentistry, the fundamentals of things. So if you're looking to, like, really comprehensively treat plan and get into 3D printing, cosmetic dentistry, you need to check out all our smile design stuff at 3D Dentist. Okay, so without further ado, let's bring in Dr. Allie.
Hello.
What's up, Allie?
It's great to be here.
Welcome to the podcast. Have you ever been on my podcast
before? I haven't. First time.
Well, first time. Yeah. Long time listener, first time caller, huh? Love that.
Yep.
So how are things going? Tell us about why you're here.
Things are great. I'm here to help mentor the 3D smile design course with Tim Anderson. So it's been a great course. We're on day two, about halfway through, learning a lot. Full course too.
Love that.
Yeah.
It is a full course. Okay, yeah. So let's go back. So Allie, tell the listeners a little bit about Allie, a little about your practice. You practice with your husband, Adam.
Sure.
He's my best friend. Shout out to you, buddy. But give the listeners a little feedback on just who Allie is.
Okay.
The dentist.
The dentist, Allie. Well, right now I consider myself a cosmetic dentist.
I'd say you're a cosmetic dentist too.
Yeah. But before I was, you know, just general dentistry, kind of did a little bit of everything. Obviously loved the cosmetic side, but didn't quite have it fit into my schedule to be
able
to do it.
You can talk to me too. You don't have to look over there.
Okay.
You look where you want. You can. I wish I could see Allie. She's like staring off into the camera.
Well, I'm like, I don't know where we're supposed to look.
Yeah, just look at me.
But my husband and I own a practice in Evansville. We've got two partners that work with us. My goal is to continue to do more and more kind of emotional dentistry with cosmetic cases.
So how long have you been practicing?
Since 2011.
So 2011, you get out. You didn't mention your dad's as it was a dentist.
Yes.
You and Adam took over your dad's practice.
Yep.
And have seen crazy amounts of growth.
Oh, yeah.
With that practice,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, and we really met. You came in through Aaron's Sieb course kind of into the 3D world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did mastermind with us, and that's kind of where we really got to know each other and get connected. But y'all went from like a practice that was, hey, we're successful, but I don't want to say miserable, but we're successful, but like life's chaotic.
Sure.
And it's not super sustainable, or we don't love the dentistry we're doing, to how do I do different dentistry?
Yes. I think the only way we knew how to grow was to run faster, more volume, see more people, you know, run two or three columns on our own and then check six hygiene and just keep running every day.
And from a CE standpoint, where were you clinically?
Well, I was a CE junkie. I mean, you name it, I'd do it. Seattle Study Club, we did the whole Dawson curriculum. You know, I knew how to do a lot of things. I just didn't know how to implement them into my practice.
Were you doing a lot of that fancy dentistry that you learned how to do yet?
I mean, no. I mean, maybe every once in a while somebody would want me to do a case, but it'd be 3 months before I could get them in.
This is a good conversation because kind of what I want to talk about, because to me it's like, okay, how do we learn to do things but then actually do things?
Right.
I just released a podcast not too long ago, maybe the last episode, that's called the devil's in the literal details.
Right.
And like, in that, the irony is people like think of that as a positive thing, like I need to know all the details. And what I'm kind of seeing more and more is that the details are ultimately what's holding people back.
Oh, for sure. So you always say analysis by paralysis. Like, I mean, I knew too much information, and then I didn't even, you know, I was afraid if I did anything, I would mess up or fail, or, you know, it would be wrong.
Did you have failures?
Yeah.
So you had some failures?
Sure. Yeah.
So I just want to, so walk me through then kind of like the process of like, you go back, you go learn all the CE, and then you come back, and then where would you get stuck?
I'd get stuck at like trying to educate the patients as to why they should do this. You know, I could see it all and I'd be like, you know, your teeth are going to fall out or you're going to grind them down to nothing. Or it was just educate. Like I learned this and that wasn't resonating with people. They weren't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to sign up for it now.
So now you kind of fast forward.
Yeah.
And now from, like you said, you would call yourself a cosmetic dentist.
Yeah.
What changed? Because you do, how many larger cases do you do a month now?
Probably like at least once a week, four, you know, I'd say.
That's a significant, most people would love to do
sure
one a month, let yeah. alone four a week, four
yeah.
a month.
Yeah.
What changed? What would you, like trying to nail it down for like, what are like the top three things that you would say were reasons why you're now doing four big cases a month with no more clinical CE really?
No.
Or very little clinical CE more than where you were.
Yeah, just the only CE we've done is to go from the analog way to the digital,
way.
Yeah. Well, I think just getting out of my own way. I mean, you and I had that one conversation during Masterminds, and you said, how are you doing these cases or what's your process? And, you know, I was the one slowing down the process, thinking, again, back to the details, that I had to have everything in line and know exactly what I was going to do instead of just giving people what they want, which is pretty white, straight teeth.
Was it your confidence or the patient's confidence in you, you think?
I think both. I think I got more confident. I think my team was behind me, too. I think my team had more confidence in me than I did. They're like, you can do this. We've seen your before and after. It's like, why aren't we doing more of this? So that was huge. And then just, again, getting out of my own way and quit worrying about something going wrong.
Give me an example of that.
Of worrying about something going wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, like...
Like people hear this and like, I think the challenge is like, okay. What is the actual sure. things that...
Sure.
Well, I'm gonna fearful of.
Okay. I'm going to open them up for a wear case. Open them up and then I'm going to mess their bite up and they're not going to be able to chew and function. And I think you asked me, you're like, well, how many times did that happen? And I'm like, never.
That was like a defining moment in our like dental relationship of being like, because I do remember this. It's like you being like, well, what happens if I open them up and then they can't tolerate that bite? And I was like, well, has that ever happened? And you were like, well, no. And I was like, perfect. Let's now make all our decision making processes around something that happens 5% of the time or 1% of the time and not move forward with it.
Right. Right. I mean, I had to get out of my own way. So, and I think I had to be less calculated. I think a type A dentist wants everything perfect. Like I had to be a little less calculated.
Well, I think part of it is because I don't want people to hear this and downplay that you just can go do stuff.
No.
Like there's a level of like, hey, I need to have some level of clinical skills.
Understanding and, occlusion, understanding.
Yeah. Having a implementable understanding of occlusion. To me, that's the word like I would use is there's a big difference between understanding occlusion from a what works Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday perspective and understanding occlusion at like a what I would call Spear, Pinky, Doss, Coice, LVI. Like, I want to throw them all under the bus because I don't want to pick on one because the reality is all of them overcomplicate things to a point that I think puts you in a position where you don't want to move forward.
Yes. I was afraid of, what if the tooth breaks or what if their bite's wrong or what if I mess up their jaw? Or what if I...
You know, it's funny,
What if?
We talk about barriers for patients all the time, right? Time, fear, money, and trust.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me because those barriers, it's the same that hold us back from typically doing more of the dentistry we want to do. It's fear that I'm going to jack things up.
Yeah.
It's fear that I'm going to it's not going to look right. The outcome's not going to good. Then I'm going to have to redo something. It's the fear. There's a money component to it. Do I want to buy the technology? Mm-hmm. Do I spend the money on the printer? Do I spend the money on ExtraCAD? Do I spend the money on cone beam? All this stuff. It's the time. I'm too busy doing all this other stuff to slow down. You know, it's just so interesting when you think about kind of like just the natural buying and fundamental working process of what is it? And I think it's a good question to ask like the listener, like as you're listening, what is it when you think about time, beer, money that's holding you back? And what are you doing to overcome those barriers?
Yeah. I mean, mine was definitely fear. I mean, for sure. Just afraid of messing up.
Yeah, you have no problem spending money. Yeah. You know, that's definitely not the issue. I've seen your P&L, and I've drank champagne with you. You have no problem spending money. But no, at the end of the day, I think to me, the take home message here, and one thing, I'm excited because you've gotten more involved with 3DTP,
yes.
One of our fundamental courses
yes.
that I think people should know about, because it is a, and this isn't meant to be a sales pitch. It's just meant to be a reality of what I think
people
need to know about.
Yes,
and so talk about a little bit about 3DTP and kind of what you're doing with that and involvement in that.
Okay. So 3DTP is just, treatment planning with digital dentistry. So, being able to see the dentistry and then knowing what to do, how to fix it or how to treat it, basically.
Yeah, I think it's going from hey, not only I'm going to move beyond single tooth dentistry,
yes,
into quadrants, to arches, and ultimately to smile design.
Yeah,
right. I want to be able to see dentistry at a different level and be able to feel confidently treatment planning and presenting dentistry that goes beyond. It's the dentistry we basically always want to do, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily fancy dentistry. I look at
it's no,
or maybe it's just not complex. Prepping 8 teeth is no different than prepping 1 teeth with some understanding of some basic fundamentals,
right.
Where teeth go in the face,
right.
How that affects the occlusion. That's the kind of stuff that we go through in 3DTP. And I think what we do a good job of is we just minimize the noise.
Yes. We make it not complicated. And you feel like you can leave there and go home and I can
actually
treat these
it.
People. Yeah.
And one thing we're super excited about is Tim Anderson's obviously is great at photography. And so we're
yes.
adding an entire day of photography now
yes.
within that course, which I think is going to be just huge. Moving that course from just 2 days to 3 days and now
right.
having an entire day based around good quality photography, hands-on,
yes.
so that we can just take better pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. And better pictures so that, you can see the dentistry, the patient sees it, it's
the before and after,
yeah.
being able to reuse that stuff
yep.
for all that. That's really,
yeah,
that's valuable.
Yeah. And then I think the other important thing was that I then, once I felt like I got out of my own way, was having time on the schedule. So,
yeah, that's actually
implement, do yes,
stuff.
I don't have to tell somebody, I can fix your teeth in 3 months. I think I can do it in September, the 1st of September.
Which is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Talk about how you brought along your team on that. How have you leveled up your team members with your growth? Because I think that's something you've done well relative to most people.
Sure. So, I hardly ever come to CE unless without my team. So I bring them with me. And I have, gotten out of my own way and let them, kind of empowered them and let them excel at the different things. Because I can't be good at all the things.
Right.
Or I'd be at the office till midnight every night. Letting the team in on what we're capable of. Before and afters, talking about it, the team really understands the dentistry that we can do. And like I said before, they believe in it as much as we do. So then them being able to see, Brandon specifically, being able to see consults and know, kind of exactly what I would probably do and talk to these patients. And then Emma, because we've gone from, I did the Dawson curriculum, the analog way, and we've kind of totally transformed into doing everything digitally. So then Emma being able to work with me on these cases, design them with me, and then, print the prototypes. It's been amazing.
So let's do this. So, I want you to walk through kind of how a case works for you today. Someone walks in and we're going to do a whole upper arch of their teeth.
Okay.
We're going to prep them in some combination of crowns or veneers. It's irrelevant to me. But let's talk about what does that workflow look like clinically?
The consult happens. The before photos happen. The scans happen. Patient says yes.
What if they're not ready to move forward? Walk me through that process. Oh. They're interested but not interested.
Okay. So if they're
interested but they're not ready to say yes.
Sure. They're interested but not ready to say yes, then, we'll still gather all that information, talk to them.
Photos.
Digital impressions.
Okay.
Yes. And then try to understand what the patient wants, what they like or don't like about their teeth. And then, we'll have them back probably within a week or two and do what we call a trial smile.
Okay.
So, which is what we're learning right now in smile design. So, basically behind the scenes then, all that information gets uploaded to exocad with Emma, and I'll kind of talk to her about what the patient wants, and then she will create a mock-up. So using the photography, the digital scans, so you can see what this would look like in the patient's face. And then it's actually printed, and the patient comes back, and
3D printed,
yes. 3D printed. It's a little shell that just slides over the facial of the teeth, and we'll try it in, take pictures so the patient can really see what's possible.
What it would actually look like to, yeah. You know, from like a Snap-on smile perspective.
Yeah.
And then and you've had some pretty good success with that.
Yes, we've had great success with it. You know, we'll put
How often are you doing those?
Oh, I mean, we do several a week at
least.
That's
amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool that you've implemented that. And you started, that's a combination of having Exocad, having the printer.
Sure.
You have a Sprint Rate printer?
Yes.
What resins are you printing in?
So we're printing those in Apex.
Okay.
So Denture Sheath resin, that Apex.
I have not printed in that yet.
It's real nice.
Real nice, huh?
Real nice.
Okay. I need to check that out.
It's probably expensive.
You give everybody bleach? Does everybody get bleach?
Yes. Everybody gets bleach.
I love that. All right. And so, we do this. So now,
yeah.
So now the patient says yes.
Yes.
They've strided in, you've taken pictures, you send them home, they say yes.
Yep.
Now what does the process look like?
So now the process is usually sedation. So we're doing, you know, if they say yes that day, we're doing oral sedation consult that day, getting all the paperwork, consents, all that stuff done.
Yep.
And then, I mean, realistically, they could be back within a week if I've got the opening. And what we'll do behind the scenes then is make our, you know, just like you'd send to the lab to get a wax up, you know, we do a digital working mock-up on our own. So Emma mans that. I check it, you know, check the occlusion, make sure the smile is where it needs to be, like the smile fits in the face, teeth fit in the face.
So we go from basically this, it's not the same design.
No.
It's a different design now. So the design you did for the Snap-on becomes different. It gets transformed, so to speak, into a more functional.
Yes.
Idealized.
Yeah. So we're able to look at the occlusion, you know, everything.
And just for the listeners' sake, because I think this is important,
Emma was an assistant.
That's how old?
She's 23.
23 years old. That's been in dentistry how long?
Yeah, I mean, a couple years.
Like, I just want people to, like, people are like, well, where do you find these? Like, these people are homegrown. Like, no. It's a little bit of, like, giving someone. And I think I remember, like, Emma came to the summit last year.
Two years ago. Yep.
And saw Tim.
Yep.
Do his smile design lecture, mm-hmm. and basically was like, "Hey, I want to learn to do that." Right?
Yes.
And like people,
I want to do 3D printing.
Like, you're about to hear this stuff. The best people like that are cultivated through given the opportunity, being shown what's possible, and then we as a dentist getting out of the way, and putting them in a position to succeed.
Yes.
Like that take home a 23-year-old girl who's been in dentistry for maybe not very long.
Yeah.
Who was kind of destined to life of like sterile tech slash low assistant on the totem pole, now gets elevated into being able to be a, you know, really a critical part of the highest end dentistry that you do in the practice.
Sure. It's awesome. It's awesome to see her excel. And I mean, she's better at it than me. She does it all day.
And part of it is like, look, you know, and she fits through age. Like that type of person is, they're dynamic on a computer. Like they don't, she doesn't know life without a computer. So for you, then it's a matter of, and I love what you said, how your role in that is basically to help her then start to understand some level of occlusion, where her teeth go, the position and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of move them along. Okay.
Right.
So she redesigns that.
Yep.
You check it out.
Yep.
Patient's back now within typically, you know, probably as soon as a couple of days or a week.
Sure.
If we schedule allows.
Yeah.
We sedate them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, what does prep day look like?
So
how do you leverage the stuff that you've done?
Oh, well, we'll print. So that mock-up, I'll print the working model. So I want to have the model just in case.
The model that's now got the mock-up. It's the new model.
The new model that's got the mock-up. Yep. So I'll print that, you know, make a putty matrix of it. And that's just basically for backup. In reduction guides.
So you've got your washed putty matrix that you basically can use for temporaries at the end.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then some reduction guides.
And you make guides, I'm assuming, just off that?
Yeah. Buckle and lingual reduction guides.
And those are like the, how do you make your reduction guide? Just like where you mix the two putties together?
Mix the two putties together.
Is that what you do? Like put it over it and then slice them and.
Yeah.
I remember that from like dental school.
Yeah.
I need to use more reduction guides probably.
Sure. Yeah.
That's probably an area I should improve on.
And the point of that just is so that when we go to the finals, that the porcelain is even thickness and you can make everything beautiful and match. So.
Well, if everything's opaque.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter.
Yes. And then depending on how the, you know, what sort of, you know, if it's additive, especially, you can use the putty matrix, put the temporary material in it, slide that over the patient's teeth before you even start prepping and then prep through that.
So basically prep off.
Yeah. So you don't over prep.
I love that. We're getting clinical today.
Super,
I like it.
Super calculated.
That is calculated. I just get there, like, close an eye like that. That looks pretty good. We got thickness there.
Yep. So say this patient, you know, we're doing their whole upper arch and maybe they need a couple crowns and fillings on the bottom or something. So my protocol would then be, you know, I get the upper six prepped, take a bite, Exaflex. No, what am I looking for? Blue Mousse.
Yeah, Blue Mousse, bite.
Yeah, say prep the upper six, take a Blue Mousse, you know, have them bite together, Blue Mousse of that. And then I'll prep the upper
other side,
posteriors, right, left quads. Yep. And so then I've got that as a bite reference, check clearance, scan, and then Emma's.
Are you using that bite, or are you just doing that you're checking that, you're doing that bite reference for just more of a reduction?
More of a reduction, so I can make sure I have enough clearance in the posterior.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually like that from that standpoint.
Yeah. And then we will scan the preps, and I use a laser, so I don't pack cord, but
yeah.
And then laser, and then scan the preps. And then that
you're just scanning the prep scan?
Just the upper preps, yeah.
Because then that's going to mesh back with the pre-op at ExtraCAD, where you've already done the pre-design.
Yep. So then Emma takes all that back, and, you know, then say, you know, the patient, like I said, they need a couple crowns and fillings, then we'll work on the lower, get that done same day because we have CIRIC, and
meanwhile, she's finishing up the 3D attempts for the upper.
Finishing up the 3D.
It's a true representation of what the finals could be.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think is important is, like, everything's a crawl, walk, run, right? So
yes.
I'm assuming right now with Emma, she's doing the temporary designs, but then you're probably sending them out to the lab for a final redesign, or are you actually using her designs now to mill out the finals yet?
We are not that vertically integrated yet. Yeah. So that's okay.
That's the step, right? Step one is, let's get Emma just making better temporaries than what they currently have.
Yeah.
And then step two will be, all of a sudden we'll start to say, hey, your temps look pretty good.
Right.
You'll fall into the right patient whose maybe bar isn't quite as high.
Yeah.
And then that allows us to make the next step of vertical integration, which is now taking that same design or modifying it slightly and then moving it into your big mill.
Yes.
To where now you could mill out everything in office.
Right. Yeah. And so right now our protocol is they come back usually the day after, we check the temps, check bite, see what they like, don't like, and then we take pictures, scans in their temps, send all that information to the lab. That's how it works now.
And then they get the finals, and so that takes as long as it needs, but now we got them in nice temporaries for the whole time.
Yep.
What's been your feedback with 3D printed temps? Pros and cons?
The cons are the learning curve. You know, we've had played around with different materials. We're actually printing those in Apex now too.
Okay.
Which we like better. We've done Onyx Tough 2 as well, which is strong, but it's kind of bulkier. So the cons are just we're at the
brink of the Ford.
Yes.
Learning curve.
Yes. Yeah. The learning curve. Yeah.
I think that's helpful for people to hear, because people think they're just like, oh, you just put it in the printer and it works.
Yeah, like it just poof, they came out perfect. You know, no, they've been too bulky. The patients even come back and like, well, are my permanents going to be like this? Like, I don't like these, you know? So we've definitely had to work with that. But, you know, the pros are the tissue management. You know, you pop those things off when you go to seat and the tissue's beautiful. So that and Stella Life. Put a little plug in for Stella Life.
Stella Life is a good, and I don't use Stella Life on my temps, but that's a good idea to use. I should.
Oh, I have all my patients rinsing with Stella Life the whole time they're in those temps.
Wow.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. I got all the Stella Life. Just use it for surgery. Never use it for that purpose. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think this is helpful. Like that's a solid workflow. And then, there's the steps along the way. So yeah.
I think I've got friends, even dental school friends, that have reached out and like, why are you doing this? Or, you know, that sort of thing. But I think so much of it is they're in their own way. They, you know, won't just try it, do it, you know. But then think about what those patients out there that could really benefit, like their confidence improves. Like they get new boyfriend, they get jobs. These people need our help.
Yeah.
So it's not just all these people coming in with, you know, wanting flashy teeth or anything. It's people that really need it. So it's really cool, the impact that you can have.
If you want to know more about this stuff or you want to reach out to Allie, you got to join our app, right? Our app's free. It's on the Apple Store, Google Store.
Yep.
You can go to, on your desktop, pro.3d-dentist.com. Pro.3d-dentist.com. You can sign up there. You can sign up in the app. It's, like I said, completely free. You can ask questions, post things. Yeah. We're all on the app. It's a great way to kind of a great resource to get connected and look, talk clinical. Yeah. Talk business.
And then if you come to some of our courses, we got, you know, special.
All sorts of stuff.
Special stuff where you can post cases and everybody helps each other, and it's awesome.
But seriously, two courses that you should think about considering doing, 3DTP is kind of what I think is like the fundamental course. This is going to be something, it's going to be similar to your intro course for like a Spear, Coyce, Dawson, Pankey kind of LVI type thing.
Yes, but
it's a core curriculum.
Super uncomplicated.
Yes, that's been uncomplicated for sure.
Yes, you will.
And then the second part of that is level two, and then depending on where you are with level one, you go straight to level two is our Smile Design course, which is what's happening this weekend. It's 3 days all around ExoCAD printing, learning how to do these trial smiles, motivational, emotional prototypes.
Yep.
Then being able to do functional prototypes, 3D printing your temporaries. And learning how to do all that in-house so that you can get started with that. So two amazing courses.
They're awesome.
And then next year we'll be bringing in the third component, kind of like ultimately will be a 3-track series where now you learn how to take those designs and you learn to mill them out and become completely vertically integrated, which is what I want to see you do. Yep.
Next year when we have this podcast.
Doing Mio and aesthetic zirconias and all that stuff. So just a freaking amazing time to be in
industry. It's awesome. It's exciting.
Well, Allie, this was fun. I'm glad you joined the podcast.
Yeah, thanks
for
having
me. We do more often, absolutely.
Yes.
But yeah, just woman power.
Love
it. Just kicking ass, taking names. I love it. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know. Give us feedback. Go follow Allie for sure. Allie, what's your Instagram
handle? Yeah, Dr. Allie Fraunfelter.
Allie Fraunfelter.
Yep.
And go follow her. Yeah, I hope you all just, work smarter and harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.